All right, so we have been in this series more because the things that you really want in your life, if it really came down to what was most important, security, relationship, connection, peace, joy, really the fundamental things in your life you want more of, and God wants to give you more in each of those areas. Jesus came and says, look, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. I want you to thrive. I want to lavish upon you. So we've been in this series called More, and today we're talking about the counterintuitive, a counterintuitive idea about how to get more that really makes almost no sense, okay? And it's something that Jesus said. It's quoted in Acts chapter 20. If you have a Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 20 because we're going to be in there all day. We're just going to camp there. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. You can still love Jesus if you don't have your Bible, all right? And I'll have all the verses up on the screen. Okay, there will be nobody sitting here judging you if you don't have a Bible. Look, this is my Bible right now, okay? So Paul, in Acts chapter 20, writes this: you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And here it is. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that is perhaps the most counterintuitive statement that there is in the Bible. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Look, if I want to get more, I want to collect more, right? I want to gather more. And what Jesus is saying is if I want to get more, I need to give more away. And it just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Now, there are some people who already get this. Today we are honoring them. Happy Mother's Day, moms. So glad you're here. There are some moms that already get this. It's more blessed to give than to receive, especially when it comes to advice. Right? Definitely better to give advice than to get it, 100%. Moms, get this. I got a little help from Jimmy Fallon of The Tonight Show. This is hashtag mom quotes. Let me give you some mom advice. Here's some dating advice from mom, okay? My mom always says, if he's not Ryan Reynolds hot, then I won't like him, referring to any guys me and my sister might date. There you go. Feels like a good standard. Okay, here's another one. Here's some dinner advice from mom. Tonight's dinner menu consists of two choices. Take it or leave it, right? Is any mom subscribed to this, right? Okay. Even if it's tuna casserole, really? Okay. All right, here's some more quick dating evaluation from one mom, free of charge. Here we go. Mom told me to walk home. Give me the other one. There's another one in there. When I showed my mom a picture of my college crush, she said, yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay, last one. This is a safety tip from mom. Mom told me to walk home after a party. I said, what if I get kidnapped? And she said, trust me, they'll bring you back. Moms are great. Thank you. Moms are great at advice. This is the advice we get from moms. If you keep making that face, your face will stick that way, right? Somebody breaks your heart. Hey, honey, there are plenty of fish in the sea. What does that even mean? I'll give you something to cry about. There's a good one. Wow, you had a rough mother. I'm sorry. My mom hugged me, but that's okay. If all your friends jump off a cliff, would you? Right? This is kind of the things that mom gives. Irma Bombeck, I think, put it perfectly. When your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway. Look, there are some people that know it's better to give than to receive. Nurses know that when they're giving shots. Better to give the shot than to get it. Same is true of colonoscopies, right? Better to give the colonoscopy than to get it. Anybody play football? Who's a football player? All right. Were you defense or offense? Offense. Okay. The people doing the hitting, it's better to give than to receive. Am I right? There are other areas, however, where this breaks down, where this isn't easy, where this is very counterintuitive. And I hate to start here, but how about money? I don't know about that one. I'd rather get money than give money. What about tickets? I like getting tickets. I just want to say, I like free tickets. This is a public service announcement. If you've got extra tickets, easier to get tickets than to give tickets. Donations, same thing. My wife this weekend is doing a hike to raise awareness for widows in India with an organization called White Rainbow. She's actually speaking at the church that I used to lead. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to get donations. It's better to give than to receive. And I think in our minds, we ascribe to that. We can see that there's some truth to that. But man, it's hard when it comes to money and gift cards and presents and cupcakes. We'd rather get them. We would agree with the statement, but 99% of the Amazon boxes that show up at your house are for you. Right? Listen, as I was researching this message, this is not only true, Jesus' words are not only true because they're Jesus' words, but do you know that science backs up this idea that it is better to give than to receive? There's been some research done. Social psychologist Liz Dunn showed that people's sense of happiness is greater when they spend relatively more on others than on themselves. In one survey of over 600 U.S. citizens, Dunn found that spending money on others predicted greater happiness, rather than whereas spending money on oneself did not. And it didn't matter the income level. Spending money on somebody else made us happier. And they took this research to the next level. They were at a school and they gave students an envelope with money in it, and they were supposed to do a report on this. Take this money. You get two options. You can spend it on you or you spend it on somebody else. And to a person, the people that had the most positive response were not the people who spent it on themselves, who spent it on somebody else. Because there is power in giving. The counterintuitive key to getting more isn't collecting more. It's learning to get ourselves into this mindset, this understanding of taking what I have and giving it. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to spend the rest of the time in Acts chapter 20, see if we can understand Jesus' words. Before we do that, why don't you bow your head? I don't know what you came in here today with, but I know that God has a word for you today. He said that wherever two or more are gathered, I'm there. He's here. And he cares specifically about your issue, whether it's a liver problem or you had a rough time with your kid this week. He cares. So I just want you to pray this. Just take a minute. Probably your only moment of solitude this week, and just say, God, would you speak to me today? Lord God, I thank you that you're here. And I thank you that you care about each one of us wherever we're at. And I pray, God, that you would speak to my friends and to me this morning in a profound way, that we could hear your voice. And something that we're struggling with, you can ease that burden. Something we won't forgive ourselves, you can help us to get rid of that regret. That we'd just be able to experience your presence today. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And then Jesus also ups the ante on that understanding, all right? If you look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38, This is where we're getting, this is where Jesus wants to get us. Talk about getting more. Jesus wants to give you more, especially in this area. And he says this, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. What does that even mean? Let me explain it to you. The original Greek word that says pressed down means to be become compacted by downward force or pressure. What they're talking about is in those days, if you were getting grain, then what you wanted is to deal with somebody who was selling you that grain in an honest and really generous fashion. So when they would pour the grain into your bucket, they would press it down, right? And then they would shake it so that it would settle down so that you could get more. And then they would pour more in, and they would pour more in so that it was overflowing. That's what you wanted. You wanted a generous seller like that. Because you know how it works. You ever open up a cereal box, you go, hey, what happened to all the cereal, right? It got shaken down. And so a really good seller would give you something pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And what God says, look, you figure this out, this is how I will give to you. You figure out how to give, you figure out how to be generous with what you have, this is what I want to do for you. Well, how do we get there? All right? We're going to unpack some of this. We're going to start off in Acts 20. Let me give you a little basis where Paul's at in this part of his life. Paul was the very first missionary. He did 3 missionary journeys that spanned 11 years. And during those journeys, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. They stoned him. They threw him up. They thought he was dead. They threw so many rocks in his head. They thought he was dead, and he got up. This was his life for 11 years. And he is wandering back into Jerusalem. Now, why is that important? Well, Paul was going against Jewish law. And so by entering Jerusalem, he knew, and all of his friends knew, that that meant that he was going to prison. So that's what he's writing at this moment. Let's look at verse 22. Now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. He knew it, walking in. Verse 24. Paul's entire life and calling come into one sentence. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Nothing else. He knows he's going to jail. Nothing else matters. The only thing that matters to him is he's going to do what God called him to do, which leads us to our first point about giving. You can't start giving until you realize why getting is so important to us. Okay? In these verses, Paul is writing a value statement. What is his value? His value is what is important to God, and his value is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do what's important to God. Okay, why do I bring that up in regards to getting? Here's why I bring that up. Because think of all of the things that become so important to us. Getting clothes, getting shoes, getting cars, getting houses, getting money, getting into that college, getting that great job, getting likes on Instagram. Why are all of those things important? Because those things become value statements to us. And you don't think of it like this, but so often, my clothes represent my value, my car represents my value, my job represents my value. And the reason why we want to get is somehow inside of us, we think that that's going to increase our value. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is, look, you don't have to get one more thing for you to be valuable to me. You are already valuable to me. All you have to do is join me in what I am doing. Join me in serving others. Join me in making a difference. Join me in giving. Now, I made fun of moms a little bit ago, but the reality is, moms, you're great at this. So many moms are really, really good at serving. In fact, I have a quote. I don't know if you agree with this, moms. Tell me if you agree with this. My kids will walk right past their father sitting on the couch and come bang on the shower door for me to open a fruit snack. Dads don't get it. Moms get it, right? Moms serve. Moms complete the task. Moms do laundry. Moms put on Band-Aids. Moms break up a fight. Moms open a fruit snack naked, right? Look, they know what it's like to serve. Now, if you're not a mom, let me give you a short list of ways that you can do that. Simple ways in your life. Love the people that you work with. Care for the people at your school. Stay true to your marriage. Keep on the lookout for something that breaks your heart. And when you see something that breaks your heart, you join in making a difference in that area. Homelessness, trafficking, people around the world. Serve your family. But listen, you can't start giving until you start finding your value in something that's really valuable. You put away all those other things that you're using to find your value. You start finding your value in what God calls you to do. Okay, number two. You can't start giving if you want what everybody else has. Acts 20, verse 32. The biblical word for this is called coveting. This is what Paul says. I commit you to God and to the word of grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted, there's the word, anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, coveting. You know what that is? It's the 10th commandment, people. Coveting is not a word that we use, but it sounds like this. What you got, I want. All right? That's coveting. If you don't think it fits, I got a list. Here's my covet list. Things to not covet or want what somebody else has. Don't covet your neighbor's kitchen or her countertops or his leather recliner. Don't covet your neighbor's updated bathroom, their new room addition, their built-in barbecue. Don't covet your neighbor's pool or jacuzzi or the water feature that includes a slide. Man, we moved to the San Diego, we got a pool for the first time. My kids didn't want to play in my pool. We didn't have a slide. Come on, guys. Don't covet your neighbor's 85-inch nano 8K cell TV. You know why not? Because Costco's selling 100-inchers now. Don't covet your neighbor's Prada purse or Coach or Louis Vuitton. Don't covet your neighbor's Jordans or Vans or Chuck Taylors. Don't covet your neighbor's talent in sports. Don't covet your friend's grades. Unless you have an F, then maybe covet a little bit. Don't covet what college your friends are going to. Don't covet your friend's social media life. Don't covet your Porsche or Mercedes or Tesla. Don't covet their game system or game library. Don't covet your friend's vacations. Don't covet the amount of likes your friend gets on Instagram. Don't covet someone's looks. Don't covet your friend's cool parents or your coworker's hot wife or your neighbor's successful husband. Look, man, there's no end to what we could covet. I want what he has. I want a simpler life like they have. I want a better looking wife like that dude has. I wish I had a better body. I wish I had a six-pack. I'm 62. I got a keg, all right? There's no end. Cars and shoes. And this is the dumbest one, but it's so easy. Cell phone. The most updated cell phone. How much of that stuff? Look, it's all about what? It's all about getting. I want what he has. I want what she's got. Now, let me give you a line that has made the difference to me, okay? And it's simple. When somebody shows up with a new whatever, car, couch, countertop, whatever, to say this to yourself. That's great, but I don't need it. That will save you so much money. Just say, that's great, I don't need it. Those shoes are great, I don't need it. That car is great. I used to love classic cars, and now I look at them and go, that's great, I don't need it. Okay, let me give you a third point. You can't start giving until you slow down your getting. Okay? Paul calls this contentment. He doesn't mention contentment in this passage, so I'm going to another passage. 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if you have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. What he's telling us is, here, you get two things to look for. You can rush after money, or you can be content with what you already have. Now look, I'm not telling you to not be driven. I'm not telling you to not work hard. Those are really good. Those are godly. But if that is the sum total of your life, listen, we all know somebody that spent so much time looking after money that they trained wrecked their life, right? And if you're too young to know that, young guy, ask an old guy. He knows a guy. What Paul is trying to say is you're looking for more, but there's a possibility that you have what you already need. That you, whatever it is that you need, you already have. Now, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever looked for something that you already had? Have you ever looked for your glasses and they are on your head? 100%, right? Have you ever looked for your wallet and it was in your back pocket? I have done that. Have you ever looked for your... This is embarrassing. Have you ever looked for your cell phone and you're talking on it? Yeah. Idiot. I literally walked out the door. I was worried about where my wallet was. And my daughter said, what's that in your hand? My wallet. What contentment is the realization that you have what you already need. Are you in a relationship? Do you have a roof over your head? Did you eat today? If you didn't, you're at the right church. We're going to feed you in about 10 minutes. I got an email from a friend that I thought made sense, fit this moment. I wanted to convey my gratitude and thanks for a great message about Lent. This was several years back. Yes, it was a while ago, but I wanted to follow up with you and ask to reach back out to you. For Lent, I gave up, drum roll please, Amazon and all online shopping for 40 days. What an awesome lesson for me. The first few days, I caught myself picking up my iPhone and starting to order something off Amazon, and I catch myself. As the days continued, I prayed instead of making an online order. I must have saved hundreds of dollars as well and got into a great habit. And then she wrote this, I gave it back to church, just FYI, with gratitude, Melanie. Melanie realized that she can't start giving until she slows down her getting. Now, I've spent a whole lot of time talking about getting. Let me give you some really practical ways that you can start giving. And I know it sounds like this message is all about giving to the church, and that's very legit. You know why it's legit to give to church? What you are doing is you're joining God in what he's doing in the world, and that's legit. But this, none of these have anything to do with tithing, okay? So you can relax. You can take a breath. Start easy. Start by writing somebody a note. And, you know, it's fine. Do it digitally. Do it email. Do it in text. In fact, if you want to do that right now, you can do it. You can tune me out. Pick up your friend's favorite Starbucks drink and bring it to him. I'll let you know what mine is, and I'll be here next week. Give a compliment. Be the person that is on the lookout for somebody doing something good. That's giving. Prioritize time with people that are important to you. Make a Spotify list for somebody, right? Anybody on Spotify? You can make playlists. So I did this. I had a friend of mine who was going in for foot surgery. So I made a Spotify playlist for foot surgery. It included Footloose, Gloria Estefan, Get on Your Feet, and Happy Feet by Dean Martin. All right? I did this several times for different people. Heart surgery, I made a Spotify playlist. I made another one. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you what this person was going in for surgery for. So I'll just read you the song, see if you can guess what it is. Okay? Ring of Fire, Burning Love by Elvis Presley, and Shake Your Booty by Casey and the Sunshine Band. Hemorrhoid surgery. Look, let me give you some other ways. Find the perfect give and give it to somebody for no reason. Slip a gift card in somebody's inbox. Buy someone tickets to an event they would love. Get on Amazon and buy a t-shirt or something fun for somebody else. And here's what you're going to find. It feels better. Giving is better. God said it. Science proves it. Let's be known for that. What are Christians known for? God, there's so many different bad things that Christians are known for. Let's be known for this. Let's be known that we are the kind of people that have learned the joy of giving to somebody rather than getting everything for ourselves. Now, I will spend this Mother's Day without my mom. I lost my mom in 2019. But I have so many great memories. For one, I would speak on Mother's Day and my mom would show up at my church, both services, and she would just laugh the entire time, mostly inappropriately. You know, like it was having my own personal laugh track. She just loved being at church. But my mom's legacy in my life is this. It's giving. She worked at a place called Polly's Pies. I don't know if anybody ever been down south and gone to a Polly's. You've been to a Polly's Pies? My mom worked there for 30 years. And then she would bring the pie dough home and then she would make pies. She made the best apple crumb pie. Oh my gosh. It had so much. She was somehow able to cram more sugar in an apple. And then what do you do with that? Well, you got to put ice cream on it, right? Oh, so good. So good. And my mom, if you knew her and you were near us in her neighborhood, you would open up your door and there would be a pie from my mom. She also used to do flower arrangements. If you very often open up your door and there's a flower arrangement from my mom. She used to deliver them to the church that she went to. She ran out of bud vases. You know what bud vases are? You put a couple flowers in there. So she used beer bottles. So she's literally delivering flowers in beer bottles to the pastoral staff. Way to go, Mom. And here was the craziest thing. So my mom would get a call. Well, like, where's she getting all these flowers, right? You know, that could be expensive. Well, the local mortuary would call her and say, hey, we've collected flowers. Do you want to get them? So she would go to the mortuary. These are flowers that were on somebody's grave. And in my mind, I had this vision of my mom racing from grave to grave, picking up flowers. But what they would do is they would collect them. You know, after a certain time, they'd collect them, and then my mom would come and pick them, and she would deliver these arrangements that she would take the flowers out, rearrange them, give to other people. You know, and so you got a nice arrangement. And the ghost of Uncle Louie, you know what? This is what I remember. My mom was uneducated. She barely graduated from high school. My mom did not have a lot. And what she had, like my dad would buy her a nice pair of shoes, and he'd come home, why are they all covered in mud? Well, I was doing gardening. With those shoes? My mom didn't care about any of that stuff. But my mom left a legacy. Because she learned the power of giving. Now, every mom today, you are going to walk out today, and we have flowers for every mom. And we were going to do this anyway, but I'm going to make it in honor of my mom. Because with these flowers, I want you to remember the power that you have. You know, a scientific study said that giving was better than getting across all economic lines. It doesn't have to be big. Let's be known as the people that give. All right? Why don't you bow your head? Maybe just pray something like this. God, show me somebody in my life that needs to get something today. Show me the place that I need to give. This is a little bit maybe harder, but maybe you want to ask God this. God, show me how getting has become too important to me. Because you can't start giving until you slow down your getting. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And to prove that, he gave his very life. We were sinful. We were going our own way. We had cursed him. The whole world had. And Jesus came down to earth. He lived a sinless life and he died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And he did that because he wants to give. He wants to be in relationship with you. If you want to be in relationship with this God that doesn't want to give you a new to-do list, but he wants to help you live into the fullness, who wants to give you more, it begins like this. Just pray this. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. I give my life to you today. Let that be your first gift. Give your life to Jesus. If you prayed that, we'd love to know about it. I got word last week, 10-year-old kid sitting in the second row gave his life to Jesus last week. If you want to join us, there's these little cards that says, I said yes, fill that out. Put it in the back box. There's a box that says that. We want to help you on that journey. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would teach us the power of giving. In your name, amen. Okay, now I know it sounds like the sermon is over, but I have a special guest today who's going to join me on stage to give a response from a 19-year-old, just turned 19 on Wednesday. So would you put your hands together for Ellis Benavides. Okay, I'm looking for the white microphone. Do we have the white microphone? Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Hey, Ellis, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. You ready? Okay. The green light is on. All right, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, just hold it right here. I believe, Ellis, that you have somebody in your life who is been that kind of person who knows it's better to give than to receive. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Why don't you tell us about her?
That'd be my amazing mother, who I love so much. Today, I got the amazing privilege to talk about my mom. And if you know my mom, you know that she loves to serve. She loves to serve others. And that's just been so evident throughout my life. Constantly putting us kids first and above pretty much all else. A big moment that I really realized that she did that was in third grade, I joined the Girl Scout group, and I had a friend who was a homeschooler, and seeing that, I was like, oh, I want to be homeschooled. Also, I just wanted to be with my mom, realistically, and she applied for a new position for a different job to be able to homeschool me, and she sacrificed her job and her career that she had a good position in so she could homeschool us kids and I could be with her more, but if I'm even half the mom that she is one day, I know I'll do a good job because she's just the best ever, and she has such a big heart for everyone. Yeah, I'm just so insanely grateful for her and all she does for us. She just loves others so well, whether that's here or in another country, as you know. She just loves to put others above herself, and yeah, I love everything she does for us, and couldn't be more grateful for her.
It's so great. Yeah. We're gonna we're just gonna pray for the moms that are in this room. I know not everybody's a mom, or anybody wants to even be a mom, but there are so many moms like that. I just want to give a prayer of thankfulness. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the example that so many moms have given to us about that sacrifice, just like Sarah has. And God, I pray, I do pray too, there are people in here that have difficult times with their mom, and this is a hard day, or our moms, or maybe that's a hard day, and I pray that you would comfort those too. But I do thank you for those people that have served us so well for so long. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, good job.